This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Milky Monday.
Lucas Fees with Rabobank. Lucas, what is Rabobank's assessment for U.S. dairy producers as it assesses global milk production, global dairy demand, and other contributing factors?
Lee, that's a great question and one that aligns well here at Rabobank as we recently released our Global Dairy Quarterly Report, highlighting all of these issues from around the world. Starting in the U.S., we're kind of coming into a pretty significant spring flush period. We're hearing of pretty steep discounts for spot milk available throughout the Midwest, but all things considered, prices kind of found a bottom there in quarter one, and I don't see necessarily too much more weakness materializing here in the near term as demand holds up decently well.
Tuesday.
It seems robots are continuing to help us in every facet of our life, including feeding our calves. Joining us, Amy Penterman, manager of Dutch Dairy LLC.
We don't let calves go over 4 hours without going through the feeder. So in the morning when the manager comes in, she's pushing them in. She'll check them again before she goes home at noon or 1 o'clock. And then when our night feeders come in, they're always checking it. So that's the first thing you do when you come in that calf barn. Who hasn't drank? You need to get them in, push them in. One side note, what we do, we actually, down the road, we have a hog equipment dealer. They make hog gates that we're able to put on the backside of our feeder. So when we have those calves that don't want to stay in that feeder and they want to keep backing out, or you have the bully calves that want to come in and push in, you can get your calf in there, put that gate down, and it won't let anybody else in there. So it's kind of not a dairy thing, but it came from the hog industry, and it works very well for us. When they want the munchies, and it just seems like calves are always busy and curious, and they're always doing something. And so I think just having that where they have good access to their grain, it just helps them.
Wednesday.
We're talking with Jason Lloyd of New York Holstein and of Maple Downs too. We're getting really excited about the New York Spring Dairy Carousel coming up March 30th through April 2nd at Erie County Fairgrounds in Hamburg. What does that really mean, Jason?
For us, so New York Holstein, we put together a Spring Dairy Carousel for years, for 46 plus years. It was in Syracuse. This is our third year going into Hamburg in Erie County, a great fairgrounds to work with. Lots of great feedback. The grounds people treat us great. We're really excited. We move in this week.
And it's really nice facilities as well.
Yep, it's a heated show ring, split show ring, so we got more than one show going on at one time. It's a heated wash rack, which is a big deal for a show at the end of March, with heated water within the wash rack.
Speaking of shows, you have a lot of shows going on.
Yep, the youth is a big, big deal for us. So entry numbers are up again this year. Junior Holstein show, entries are over 165. We had 100 Jersey Junior show. We are the only junior national junior Holstein show on this side of the Mississippi.
Thursday.
It is a big U.S. dairy opportunity. We're talking about the IDF World Dairy Summit held in Chicago this October. From the National Milk Producers Federation's Dairy Defined podcast, Jamie Jonker, National Milk's chief science officer and chair of IDF Science Program Coordinating Committee.
I think because we have not hosted a World Dairy Summit in the U.S. in a generation, there's a lot of misconceptions about what the U.S. dairy industry looks like, from the farms through our processing and innovation all the way to what we get our dairy products to the consumer. And so this is an excellent opportunity for the U.S. dairy industry to highlight its world-leading dairy productions from the farm through our cooperatives and processors and out to the consumers. It's a way for us to step on the world stage, reintroduce U.S. dairy, its innovation and technology to the global marketplace, and demonstrate how we are world leaders in such things as sustainability, nutrition research, product development.
Friday.
And our topic is going to be the impact of supplementing acetic acid, done by Penn State University and the lab of Dr. Kevin Harvatine. Well, acetic acid, of course, some of you are using in your home because that's vinegar. Acetic acid is a primary volatile fatty acid. In fact, in healthy cows, 50 to 60% of all the rumen volatile fatty acids will be acetic acid. And that is, of course, derived from the digestion of fiber. And, of course, that's important in ruminant animals as well. And finally, a source of 50 to 60% of the milk fat will come from rumen acetate and butyrate and VFAs. So the Penn State group's hypothesis was that if you add acetic acid or acetate, same thing, it will increase milk fat, especially on low forage diets.
And that's Dr. Mike Hutchins. To listen to more, go to DairyRadio.com.
Dairy Rewind.